Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. We have tonight's guest, business owner, CEO, and retired NFL athlete, Andrew Sandejo.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, songwriter and musician, Piper Hayes. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I met a chess boxing champion this morning. I had never heard of chess boxing, chess, as in chess. I've never heard of it before, much less met a champion of the sport. And it is a sport. I had to look it up after learning about it. Chess boxing, it's a hybrid sport that combines two traditional disciplines, chess and boxing. Two combatants play alternating rounds of blitz chess and boxing until one wins by either checkmate or knockout in the ring. Okay, so we're going to have this chess boxing champion on the Life Changes Show, but I bring it up today because it happened today, but also because it's perfect, because this is what I was getting from talking to our guest Andrew earlier today, how, like, listening to him and learning about him and his life, and it, what kept coming through is he's so smart and he's figured certain things out, and he's gone from sports to business and back and forth because he's involved in all of it, and how sometimes people get squeezed into boxes. And others say, well, you can't do this because you do that. Like, what makes you think you can do that? Or most people only do one thing and one thing really well. What makes you think you can do another thing really well too? Or even another thing? And it actually came up also with our performance guest as we were talking earlier today, Piper, because she's so multifaceted. And she said, could I also talk about this? And I know most people, most singers might not talk about being the whole person that we are and bringing as much of that as we can into the moment is one of the things that excites me about our guests and about this time, actually. So the stereotypes too of, well, athletes aren't usually smart and maybe that's why they go into athletics, or smart people can't play sports. So no, there's chess boxing and there's Andrew. And so there is proof for all of us, and there are so many people. So interestingly enough, we're calling this episode, inspired by our guest, Overcoming Setbacks from NFL Grit to Brain Health, and it's our episode 786.
You know, it's really an interesting juxtaposition with a lot of the light that's been shined on brain injuries and football and that over the recent years, yet there's a whole other side. You need to be immensely intelligent to play at the NFL level.
Yeah.
And then to be able to convert that to other areas of life. I can't wait for tonight's conversation.
Oh, yeah. And what a great person to have it with. Our interview guest is a business owner, a CEO, actually CEO of Braintree Nutrition. We'll talk about that a little later. And he's a retired NFL athlete. Welcome, Andrew Sandejo, to the Life Changes Show.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's going great. But you've had me buzzing all the things you brought up today.
Well, I'm glad. That could spark some excitement in your life, and hopefully also don't let the listeners down, and we can also get them
going. Well, so you got the brain going, right? And so there it is. That's part of what you do. So You've shared your story on many shows and on TV, and I've seen different clips here and there and things like that. One of the most interesting things about your story from starting, I'll let you start it, and then I'll jump into where I really wanted to focus today.
How far back do you need me to go? Let's just put it this way. I grew up in Texas. I was a soccer player growing up. And when you grow up in Texas, you have no choice but to play football at some point. And so, you know, I lived the Friday Night Lights life. Whenever Friday Night Lights came out, the movie, I remember going and watching it, and I was thinking, I'm literally living this right now. And people nowadays, they still ask, I said, did you ever watch that Friday Night Lights? And I say, I lived it. So I was fortunate enough to get an athletic scholarship to Rice University in Houston, Texas, where I played football there and had a chance. It was not the easiest path, but had the chance to go play in the National Football League, was undrafted. I had my senior year was cut short by a season ending injury. And, you know, I originally went there to be an engineering, to get an engineering degree. And then sports kind of took over. I realized I had a chance to play at the next level. And like I said, season was ended short my senior year. So at that point I'm thinking, okay, I definitely don't have a chance to go play at the next level. My shot is basically gone, done. You know, that typical story, went undrafted.
Because of injury, right?
Right. Yeah. Went undrafted, unsigned. And I went and played in this developmental league called the United Football League. They do now kind of have this UFL, XFL kind of merger right now. But this league was brand new in 2009, 10, and 11. I played in 2010. So I was very fortunate that that league was around. Went and played there. And it was a lot of guys in that league that had either just got released from NFL teams or were from really big colleges, much bigger than Rice. And so I was with kind of these elite other football players. And so once I was able to be around them and kind of compare myself side by side, I was like, you know, I can play with these guys. And was fortunate enough to get picked up out of that league to go play for the Cowboys my rookie year. And so being a native Texan, and going to play for the Cowboys was a huge deal. It's like going to play for the Yankees. So that was my kind of first taste of the NFL. And then obviously as a, you know, a young undrafted guy, you got to just find your way in the league. And it's not always easy to stick on a team. There's only so many roster spots. So like most undrafted guys, got released from several teams, kind of bounced around, still a lot of self-doubt, you know, am I good enough to play in this league? Do I belong in this league? There was times where I felt like it was yes. There was times I felt like it was no. And I finally found my home in Minnesota where they signed me in 2011. I went on to play there for 9 more seasons. And then I went to Cleveland in 2020 and then Indianapolis in 2021. I was able to squeeze out 12 years, which is about 4 times the average NFL career. And so that allowed me to do a lot of what I'm doing now, which is focusing on brain health. And so launched Braintree Nutrition towards the end of my career. You know, while I was playing, there weren't a lot of safe, banned substance-free, you know, transparent, efficacious products that helped with a lot of these kind of mental aspects of the game, focus, memory, neuroprotection, obviously with a lot of repetitive TBIs and concussions and things like that. The NFL is also extremely strict on their medications they can prescribe, like Adderall and different amphetamines. So we had to basically formulate a product that could give you a more natural Adderall in a sense. And we just rolled out a line of products that all work synergistically together to enhance and preserve your cognitive function. We use ingredients that are backed by human clinical studies at the dosages that we provide, and really just wanted to make products that we would give to our parents. I give them to my mom. I give them to my family. I take them. I am a customer of my own brand. And really, you know, my last play of my NFL career was me getting completely knocked out. Very gruesome, very, very violent concussion, and never really felt the same after that. And using these products, I've been able to restore a lot of what I felt like I used to have, and starting to feel sharper. And so that's where I spend most of my time now, is working on that. And then other times I'm on shows like this, joining you fine people.
Well, we're glad about that. And I think you've just given the audience a taste of both sides of the story, or as much of the story, that kind of shows that there's a progression here. I think it's interesting how you shared with me that, you know, doing certain things didn't feel comfortable, or it felt like maybe, you know, you questioned yourself, like you said, and maybe it, if you went there, it could have even felt embarrassing, right? And you just had to, what, grin and bear it? Or what were you telling yourself when you weren't saying, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah, I mean, there was just, I think it was, you know, early in my career, there was just times where there would be plays where I would look out at some of these athletic feats that some of these guys were doing, and I was thinking, there's no way I can do that. And then there was other times I would see guys maybe make a mistake, a mental error, that I knew what to do in that situation. So I knew always along, like the whole time, that the mental part of the game was never an issue for me. I knew the plays, I knew the playbook, I knew what to do, how to do it, exactly how a coach said it. I always had a very good memory and memory recall early in my career. And so that gave me the best chance, was just kind of using my academic background basically to know the answers to all the little pop quizzes that coach would give you in the meetings on, what's your assignment on this? Where do you line up on this? You know, always kind of being locked in, tuned in to all the meetings and on the field. And that's where you really have to prove yourself first before they even trust you to put you in the game. Because if you can't do it in practice, when there's not 100,000 screaming fans, you definitely won't be able to do it in the game when the pressure's on. So I just kind of, you know, I kind of refocus on, like, what are my strengths? My strengths are, I can memorize every single play. I can memorize all of their plays. And I know exactly what to do, how to do it, exactly how coach tells me. Might not be the most athletic guy, the fastest, biggest, strongest, but I'll do it exactly how the coach tells me to. And then over time, you start to play with more confidence. You start to learn the style of the game, and you kind of naturally in a way become more athletic because you're playing mentally faster than the rest of the guys out there.
So some of this you either came with, or some of the family dynamics or whatever. I don't know what you believe on how you developed some of this. I think you said that it's because maybe you were always so inquisitive and wanting to learn. And it's interesting that you now work with, and we'll get to talk about a little bit later, you work with underprivileged, low income, high potential kids. And so that was you. So could you share, like, I don't know that you, have you ever shared the story about you as a little kid training, like developing your own training system?
Yeah, I can. Most people, I think, they don't believe me, but you know, we can get my mom on the show and we'll ask her. But I think I naturally always loved to train, and it was just something I never had to think about. It just kind of came natural. I had my parents mark off a mile in the neighborhood so that I could practice running the mile and time myself.
Really?
I remember always asking for a weight set way before I was old enough to lift weights. My parents say, you can't lift. I finally, on Christmas Day in seventh grade, I got a weight set, and I did bench press all day long on Christmas Day. Like, I would do like a set of 10 max out. I would go inside, play some video games, and I would go back out there. I was so excited to be able to train. I tried to, I mean, I don't know. They probably thought I was just a psychopath, but I asked to drop out of school. I told you I was a soccer player all growing up. I tried to drop out of school when I was sixth grade and move overseas to play soccer full time. And, you know, I was trying to explain to my dad, like, hey, like you can't be the best like these guys overseas unless you just play soccer all day long. That's why they're so good over there. And he obviously did not let me drop out of school in sixth grade. So instead I traded in for a pull-up bar. And I said, okay, well, you have to make me a pull-up bar so I can like get better at doing pull-ups. I just kind of naturally was always like that. It was another part of what I think was my edge while I played football, was that I was trained very hard, was always very physically prepared going into training camp, and just was able to always prided myself on being the best in shape. So like I said, it wasn't the most athletic guy, but I knew that if I, on the mental side, had everything dialed in, and on the, you know, stamina side, I could play for longer, I'll have a chance. And so those are kind of my two strong suits. But yeah, my parents, I think at the time they kind of were just like, I don't know, like the kid wants to build a pull-up bar, like we'll pull a bar, he'll shut up, you know, like let's just do it and get it over with. It's better than him, you know, and getting involved in other extracurricular activities. Like the fact that our kid wants to build a pull-up bar, like I think that's a good sign. So they went with it.
Okay, I'm debating here. I really like the story of the car.
The car? Oh, yeah. I always had a way where I would, you know, kind of, I mean...
Which surprises me that you didn't actually get to go in sixth grade.
I know.
When people hear this story. So good on your dad for being able to hold strong on that one.
I always wanted to be prepared. I was, you know, and that was how I treated my professional life of being prepared. And when, you know, when I was around 13, I told my mom, I said, hey, you need to start letting me practice driving, because if I start driving now, you know, just, we lived out in the country out in Texas, like there's nobody out there. And I said, look, if I start driving now, I'll have 3 years of experience under my belt by the time I get my license. If you don't let me drive till I'm 15, you're going to be putting me out on the road with only 1 year of experience. And so she said, absolutely not. You can't do that. So I stole the keys. We were leaving somewhere. We're like walking to the parking lot to go to the car. I stole the keys, snatched them out of her hands. I sprinted the car, obviously much faster than my mom. I get in the car, I lock the door, and I wouldn't open it until she agreed to let me drive home. We bartered back and forth. She said, you can't drive from here, but once we get to the beginning of the neighborhood, I'll let you drive home from there. And that's how I kind of got to, not really ease, but to get my foot in the door of like being able to kind of, you know, get in her head of like, man, he's kind of right. Like I should start introducing him to driving today. It's not brand new to him. So, you know, I think that they couldn't get mad at me because, you know, I wasn't getting in trouble. I made good grades in school. I was excelling in academics. And there were some things like this where there actually was some pretty good logic behind it. So they really couldn't deny it.
Thank you for sharing that story. I'm sure we all appreciated and had fun with that one. Your poor mom. Yeah, maybe we need to get your mom and you on the show someday together. In the meantime, though, we've got so much to talk about when we come back. But I want to really quickly, before we go, set up how we're focused more on brawn sometime, or on physical looks, or getting leaner, and where you started to see that a lot more attention needed to be focused on brain, right?
Yeah, and it's still the same till today. Even if you look, you know, obviously on my end doing R&D, the top, you know, consumer products are around all the other B words on your brain, your butt, your boobs, but not on your brain. So your belly, your butt, your boobs, not on your brain. And so there's not a lot of people that focus on the brain until it's too late. And it's definitely one of those areas that just you have to be proactive in, because you're not always going to have the symptoms and the signs until it's too late. And the brain is the body is the brain. It controls everything, the control center. And so without that, you have nothing. And so really trying to get people to take it more serious, be more proactive. And obviously, as a football player, you know, majority of my life, I have been getting hit or hitting people with my head. It's just part of the game. That's why we wear helmets. And so now it's like, okay, well, Why not learn everything I can about the part of the body that literally controls the entire body? And so learn, part of Braintree is that I've been able to also learn a ton about how the brain and the body work together, and really try to maximize not only my life, but to help improve others' lives with feeling better, feeling more energized, feeling sharper, sleeping better, getting rid of health problems, having better longevity, living long enough to see your grandkids and your great grandkids potentially, by living a healthier lifestyle. And so it's been a very fun, one of the, parts of my post career is a very fun part of that is being able to do something that's, meaningful and helpful, in my eyes versus, doing it, creating a company that isn't really helping people, might be helping a particular need, but not really helping people.
We're going to talk more about that when we come back here with our guest, Andrew Sendejo, and let's see, Braintree Nutrition. We'll go talk more about that as well. After that, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment, and then we'll be joined by our performance guest, Piper Hayes, all on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world to raise awareness about the issues we face and most of all to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our guest is business owner, CEO, retired NFL athlete, Andrew Sendejo. We've titled this episode, Overcoming Setbacks from NFL Grit to Brain Health. And Andrew, listening to you, my mind went back to the kids. Because if you're sharing like this with us, then I know you're giving some of this to them. What are the highlights of what you share with kids that you think are the most important lessons for them in their life?
Yeah, so throughout my NFL career, on and off, when I would be back here in Austin, I work with the Austin Sunshine Camps, which is an organization here that helps low income, high potential kids. They throw a summer camp for them. They do all types of different events. And so a lot of times during my career, when I would come back, not a ton of time, but at least could go stop in, say hi to the kids, play some basketball, play some different games. And it's always great to be around the kids. They introduce you to new games, new lingo, make you feel young. Anytime you do any events with kids, they're always going to ask. There's at least going to be one to two hilarious questions from the kids. Recently, Braintree was able to bring out probably around 20 families from Austin Sunshine camps to come watch the huge summer 4th of July fireworks show here at Auditorium Shores, a beautiful setup out on this big lawn here in downtown Austin. And so really just, going back for for different events, and really just showing these kids of like, hey, I was in your shoes. You know, I relate to these kids of having all this potential, but maybe coming from a low income area or low income family, and that you shouldn't be held back, you know, by your financial situation, and that you sometimes all you need is just kind of one person that either inspires you or you look up to, or it gives you confidence of like, hey, if that guy can do it, I can definitely do it. And so that's really one of the main objectives of being there. Obviously, it's great to take all the kids and do all those different fun things and play, you know, different games with them and interact with them. And hopefully that, you know, they have a good time. But really what you want them to take away is that, you know, just because I'm in this certain situation doesn't mean I can't still attain all these really high-end goals that, you know, maybe someone in a better financial situation has better access to. And so really just trying to be an example for them, talk to them, hang out with them, let them know, you know, I'm one of you guys. Like, my situation is different now, but my roots are with them.
Thank you for that. If somebody wants to support that organization, is there a way to do it directly?
Yeah, you can go look up Austin Sunshine Camps. A lot of the they throw these amazing like summer camps for the kids. They also do like after school care programs. They do all types of stuff for these kids. And so if you just go Google Austin Sunshine Camps, their website will pop up, and you can support there if that's something you're interested in.
Thank you, Andrew. So brain health is important also for kids if they're not getting the right nourishment as well, right? So throughout our lives, then the being able to focus on that as being important too, not just, would you say, belly and all those other things,
all the other B words besides the brain.
So what should, you know, we'll talk about the products in a moment, but what is the brain? Why is it important in this reference?
As far as relating to the kids or?
Yeah, no, humans, adults.
I mean, it is the most complex organism in the world. There's, you know, if you read anything about how the brain works, how it's connected to your gut, to your skin, I mean, it's the command center for your entire body, for your entire life. It's a fascinating organism that it's just so complex. The more and more I read about it, the more I become fascinated. You know, I like I said, I take my own products that do help with some hyperactivity disorder, but I obviously still have that. And there's a lot of books that I cannot read for very long. But if you give me something about the brain, I can just dive right into it and look at it for hours. I don't know what it is, probably because it's also part of the business, but it's just very intriguing to me. I think it helps you understand and helps you live a better life to understand what makes the brain operate in certain ways, what makes you sleep better, what makes you focus better, what makes you have less stress and anxiety. And those are all things relating to the brain. And so if you can control it from ground zero, essentially your brain, you're going to live a better life. You're going to be, you know, I think you're going to be happier. I think your relationships are better. Your ambitions, your friends, your family, like, I think being able to tap into improving your brain health, it just domino effects into the rest of your life and improving that as well. And they just all work together. There's not really any way to avoid the brain, in a sense. You know what I mean?
You know, Andrew, I just had a interesting thought. You were going to be a civil engineer and or a chemical engineer, or get a chemical degree, because where you came from in Texas, you could use it in oil and gas, right?
Yes.
But you said you didn't think you would do well at the chemistry. Well, look what you're doing.
I'm not like a neuroscientist or any or a doctor by any means.
But you're putting the nutrition together chemically.
Yes.
For the brain.
I mean, I have been learning a lot. We also do have a medical consulting team with our neurologist who helps to, you know, read through the studies, validate a lot of the studies, help us as we research new ingredients that are being developed and there's new studies. We're able to vet those by sending them off to our team. We've also one of our longtime NFL nutritionists that we've worked with through college and in the NFL also consults with us a lot and helps us in many areas on the nutrition side. You know, I would say I'm not the smartest person on the team, but I've learned a lot throughout this process of being involved and you know, creating and scaling Braintree.
You know, actually, and I'm just recalling now, you also said that you started this with your friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then you hired who?
Then we hired his mom, who is our neurologist.
Nice.
On our medical consulting team. You know, it was obviously a no-brainer, no pun intended.
Nice.
We're like, look, we're going into this, you know, we always were. My co-founder, he also went to Rice with me, played in the NFL, very into health, nutrition, supplementation. We always wanted to do a supplement nutrition business. We kind of went through it and like we were mentioning earlier, it was kind of focused on the aesthetic part of, you know, what's going to give you a better workout, what's going to help you recover. And while those are still popular, we realized, well, there's an area that's not being met right now. There's a need here. And so, you know, a lot of studies were coming out about concussions and different things. And he was like, we need to bring my mom involved in this. And so it's been very beneficial to have her on the team to validate a lot of different things for us.
Okay, I'm on the site right now and I'm seeing, okay, I could use this one and I could use this one. So anyway, BraintreeNutrition.com is where people can learn more about the different products that you have. And actually, wow, a lot of athletes that are taking it and some great testimonials. So there it is, Braintree. We have the link at the Life Changes show page. And you also could learn more about Andrew at the Life Changes show page and find him on Instagram and LinkedIn. And we have links to his profiles there. I wanted to bring this full circle because we were talking how at the beginning I was in the monologue talking about how sometimes we're put in boxes and we're not given a chance. So like you were saying to the kids, you know, like you could get out of this situation. You can do certain things. As adults, we find that we might end up doing the same thing to each other, like putting us each other in boxes, right?
Yeah. And that definitely is something that I've dealt with after my NFL career. Well, even though I went to a well-respected university, you know, coming out of the NFL, going into business, a lot of people don't really see you as a savvy businessman because they think, well, you were this elite athlete. You did something that 0.00001% of people do. There's no way you could also be an excellent businessman and have business acumen. And I mean, I will admit that I am new to the real world, but you know, there's part of that definitely happens. And then until you kind of start to talk to them, you start to bring up different ideas and how you're approaching things and strategy. And then they say, oh, wait, this guy actually, okay, you kind of like, where did you learn that from? And you know, we talked about earlier of my 2 years of being done playing have been this crash course in, you know, adjusting to life out of football, redoing a lot of Braintree business, getting it in shape and trying to grow the business while learning business all at the same time, you know, and also enjoying my post football career. So It's been the last 2 years have been very busy for me, but very enjoyable. Been able to, outside of the business side, been able to do things I never was able to do playing football because football goes through all the holidays. So never really had Thanksgivings, never had Christmases. My birthday was always during football. So it, just being able to go spend family time, be with friends and family year round. My mom is obviously, she's very happy. She was happy I got to play football, but she also loves to not have to see her baby boy run into people on Sundays anymore. So yeah, post football has been it's like having a whole new life almost.
And a lot of people don't make that transition easy, or some not very well at all, in life period, no matter what, from what to what. So to be able to do it from the level that you were doing that to the level that you're doing this. And I wonder if you're, as we're bringing this to a close, I have to wonder that this kid who had it to find his own inspiration, now giving other kids and adults, and for that matter, you're also a role model for entrepreneurs, right? Aspiring entrepreneurs, and helping them as well. So I wonder if that spirit is also what drives you more.
I think it's I think a lot, there's a lot of it, just always having a chip on my shoulder of just, coming out of high school was a two-star recruit. So, going to college, it's like you're trying to prove yourself. And then you're coming out of a small university, going to the NFL, you're trying to prove yourself. And you kind of have, you always have that two-star or that undrafted mentality in anything. And even now, talking to people about business life, they look at me the same way and they say, man, like you want to get into like the supplement space, like that's really competitive. And I'll say, you know what else is really competitive? Getting into the NFL. So this is nothing new to me as far as competing in for a spot in the top tier elite category. So I take on the competition and the challenge head on. That's why I love football. There's so many parallels into life and into business. Of we would always say in the NFL, compete or perish. And so I kind of treat each day the same way that I did in football. And so I'll just kind of continue to have that mentality probably for the rest of my life, if I have to guess.
Wow, you just reminded me, that quote just reminded me, as we were leaving, getting off the phone, you said, okay, we're gonna grip it and rip it. And I had never heard that before, and I think we did
Yeah. If you hang out with me some more, I'll have some more one-liners from down here in Texas that we use growing up. So,
Nice. I look forward to that, and I look forward to, I have a feeling we're all gonna hear a lot more of Andrew Sendejo. So go to our website, or you can go directly to braintreenutrition.com for the products, and learn about the brain and all that. And then you can follow Andrew Sendejo. I should spell that actually. Sendejo. Andrew, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And looking forward to, you just keep going. We'll look forward to learning more as you learn.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Marissa, and I need your help. I'm so tired and I am depressed. I am feeling totally hopeless for our country's future. During the day, I'm unable to stay awake if I'm not working. Even when I'm working, I am not truly happy. The days are filled with drudgery and sadness. I've known you for years now, and you are always happy, even during stressful times. Please tell me how I can change my difficult emotional states of mind so I can experience happiness like you do.
My dear Marissa, I encourage you to start making a list of all of the things you put behind the words I am. Once you discover that almost all of your thoughts about yourself are negative, you might consider changing them. The words I am are so very powerful. And years ago, I was using phrases much like the ones you are using now. I was not happy. My master teacher asked me to choose phrases that served me rather than ones that created sadness and depression in my life. So I started making a list of positive affirmations that began with I am, and here are some of the things I began to say upon awakening each morning. I am love. I am peace. I am happiness. I am healthy. I am positive. I am strong. I am helpful. I am successful. I am relaxed. I am joyful. I am inspirational. I am forgiveness. I am passionate. I am creative. I am divinely guided. I am confident. I am spiritual. I am blessed. Marissa, these are just a few of the I am messages that I used to start my day. After about a week when I began, I discovered that I was happier and more excited about my life and my future. I began to make better conscious choices and began to do things that excited me. I truly changed my life from one filled with despair into the amazingly happy one I live today. So please, dear friend, find the phrases that will assist you in releasing yourself from your present state of mind. And please update me as you begin to enjoy your life more than you do now.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you am wanting to ask Dorothy a question, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
If you ask her how you're doing, she says, I am great. And I like that. And she is. So we will be right back with our performance guest, Piper Hayes, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our performance guest is an Americana soul singer, songwriter, and a musician, and so much more. She's so deep. You're going to enjoy listening to her speaking and singing, Piper Hayes.
Hi.
Hi. Why are you being sheepish?
I'm so excited for this opportunity. Thank you again for having me on.
I'm going to jump in here. I'm so excited that you're on, Piper. And for our listeners, I had the great pleasure of getting to hear Piper perform live at Angel Radio Live with Colin Newholm. And we're in for a treat.
Yes. Oh, and thank you to Colin.
Thank you, Colin. Shout out Colin.
Colin Martin.
Yeah, Colin Martin. Colin Newholm. So you and I had also such a great conversation. Boy, it was a great day for great conversations today, as it always is on the Life Changes Show day. But gosh, you know, where do you want to start from everything we talked about?
Well, it all started when I was born.
That's what I was hoping you'd start.
I don't know. I mean, we can start since we're focusing on music, we can start with the music lens.
I'm sorry. Go on. Yes, let's do.
Well, you know, music has always been a big part of my life. And I've kind of ebbed and flowed out of the making it like my main focus. But back pre-pandemic, it was what I did full time. And the way that I got into the music industry was definitely unconventional, as you were saying earlier on the phone. You know, just I kind of took a really back alley, literally, way to getting into recording and playing on stages around the world, which was such a pleasure. It was so much fun.
Okay, I'm gonna set this up. Here she is. She's 18 years old, and she decides what? I don't even want to laugh. Why are you laughing? Okay. All right.
I'm laughing because I'm okay, you know?
Yes. Yes.
I'm laughing because I'm okay. Yeah, I was 18. Great. I was living in San Francisco, going to University of San Francisco. And, you know, I was majoring in communications and psychology and just taking a bunch of random classes. And during all of that, I was missing school so that I could jam out with my friends in basements, you know, around San Francisco. And I ended up dropping out. And one thing after another led me to booking a flight to Madrid, selling all of my stuff, and hopping on a plane and having like $20 in my pocket. And I landed in Madrid. I also don't think I told you this, Filippo, but I don't speak Spanish. And I was in Spain.
Oh, wow. No, I totally missed that.
Yeah, so I was in Spain. The only thing I was able to ask for in Spain was, where's the beer and do you have Wi-Fi? And so I would just communicate and connect with people through music. I had a guitar, I had a backpack with like two outfits in it, and a passport. And that's about it. And I would,
Oh my goodness.
You know, you get, when you're over, I mean, there's so many young travelers all over the world, but I feel like specifically Europe, there's so many travelers from all over the world that speak a plethora of languages. And the best way to connect, I've found, is through music. You know, you play a song that everybody knows and you instantly have this connection. And I found so much power in that, and so much direction. Not so much as I felt powerful, but just like the power between two people, like that, that effortless understanding of, okay, you know, we have common interests. This is something that we can connect through. Nice. So yeah, I started playing on the streets and I would go to my, I would keep these same places. I would perform outside of the Reina Sofia, Museum of Art in Madrid. I would go in the different plazas and busk and, you know, dance around, and I would join other buskers. One of them was this guy, Matt McCreary, who does parkour, and he would be like doing all these acrobatics, and I would be, you know, playing music And then I bounced over to Berlin. I had some friends over there, and I was doing the same thing,
And luckily you speak German, right?
I actually do speak a little bit of German.
Oh, okay.
I speak a little bit more German than I do Spanish, but yeah, so I jumped over to Berlin. I had some buddies over there, and I was couch surfing and, sleeping in in parks and in
Wow.
staying in nightclubs for 5 days straight, because you could do that there. And it was a really interesting way of life, I'll say that much. But yeah, I started playing music, and people would invite me to open up for them at different venues, or perform at the coffee shop outside the coffee shop so that more people would come in. And then I met this girl named Sierra, who was from Michigan, and we traveled together to London. We were supposed to be there for 3 days, and I ended up staying for about a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, and I really found my people there. I was adopted by a rock band when I was living on the streets in Camden, and there was five of us staying in this teeny tiny flat in Camden. Some nights people would be asleep in the bathtub or on the kitchen floor, just cramming us in like sardines. And we were just playing music all day and just getting into all sorts of debauchery. It was incredible. But yeah, by the time I came back to the United States, I had all these songs that I had written. I started out just doing cover songs when I was playing on the streets, and then started writing my own music. And I came back, and my family and my friends were saying like, "Hey, these songs are actually pretty good. You should look into getting them recorded and putting them out on streaming platforms, or getting a band together." And I recorded some demos on my phone and sent them out to some producers that I really admire, some that work with like Dual Tone Records and different recording companies and labels all over the country. And this guy Matt Ross Spang, he emailed me back like immediately, and we hopped on the phone. And next thing I knew, I was flying out to Memphis to record an album at the Sam Phillips Recording Studio, where like Johnny Cash and Elvis and Bob Dylan and all Jerry Lee Lewis, all those guys used to hang out, and yeah, it was just an amazing experience. Honestly, music is it connects people so much, and I think it really opened up my world to all these different opportunities, and to witness these cool parts of musical history and just meet some fantastic people.
Well, we're going to get to hear. Actually, this is very special because though this song is already released, we're going to get to hear an unplugged version online, of course, of your song For You, which is one of the most popular tracks on the album called Vagablonde.
Vagablonde, yes.
Vagablonde, as in blonde. Oh, I don't know if we can tell that story. Let's hear a song. That's a great story too. You have so many great stories. I told you, it's a book too. There's a book and songs that go with the book, I'm telling you. But let's get to hear Piper Hayes performing here live on the Life Changes Show, her hit song For You, For You.
Yeah, so I always say at my shows, straight from my heart to yours, this one
Oh.
is called For You. Well, I can't comprehend all that you've been through, but don't hide away, locked up in your gloom. Well, I know you don't want to believe that it's all true. Would it be okay if I was there for you. You are, yeah. Look up, let me see those big bright eyes. Don't ever be sorry, love, for those tears you would cry, no. Well, I know it gets lonely in your room late at night. Would it be okay if I lay by your side? Ooh, ooh, oh. So let's raise another glass to your friend on the moon and be grateful that you got to love someone taken too soon. On this life may be cruel, but there's more than one shade of blue. Said, would it be okay if I was there for you? You own, you own. Oh, and I just can't comprehend all that you've been through. Oh, but please don't hide away locked up inside of your gloom. When this life may be cruel, but there's more than one shade of blue. Said, would it be okay if I laid? Said, would it be okay if I stayed? Said, would it be okay if I was there for you? The end.
Piper Hayes, that's a take. That was great. So Piper Hayes, you're welcome. Thank you for singing for you for us. So you could learn more about Piper Hayes at the Life Changes Show, and you could find her directly on Spotify and Apple Music and Instagram. You know what I don't have is your website. Is that Piper Hayes something?
It's under construction currently. Oh, okay. All right.
No wonder I don't have it. Okay, so
yes, Piper Hayes,
P-I-P-E-R-H-A-Y-S. She's all over, and she's going to be all over even more places. So look for her. Now, I realize we're coming up on time, but luckily we're going to get another song and hopefully another story, and I'm racking my brain because she's got so many great stories, and I have to say, I'd love to talk about, like, I noticed right away in talking with you, you got deep and you got soulful. And actually, I got that from some of the songs you were singing. Actually, you sing a cover. Help me here. What's it called? I don't, how do I change? I'd love to change the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a great, you did a great rendition of that. And it's funny, when I was listening to that cover, I thought, because the lyrics go on to say something like, but I don't know how. And I thought, yeah, you do. You're doing it. You're doing it. Mm. And so when I got to talk, this is before talking to you, when I got to talk to you, I thought, how did you get so spiritual? And you had a funny answer and then the real answer. Could you give us both?
Yeah. So you're asking you know, how I got so soulful or how I got
Yeah.
so deep, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was saying the funny LA answer. I grew up in Los Angeles. The funny Los Angeles answer is the house that I was born at, the first house that I lived at, it was next door to Stevie Nicks. And so I believe that some of her white witch power transferred into me when I was a baby. But the real answer is I grew up really fast in a beautiful way, and also in, you know, kind of a sad way, but I was always around people that were older than me, learning a lot and exposed to a lot since I was really young. I got to get out of the bubble of West Los Angeles and see the world through different nonprofit organizations and volunteer opportunities. That really opened my eyes to what's going on outside of this bubble that we have here in LA, and it gave me a deep appreciation of what I have, but it also gave me this drive to want to do more in any way that I can, you know. So whether that's through music or whether that's through helping people with mental health struggles or with recovery or whatever that is, or just, you know, lending an ear or staying open to giving somebody space to just talk it out. Like I try to embody that, and I've tried to embody that my whole life.
So when we were talking about it earlier, you were saying people and people in various conditions and mental states, and like you were really getting into like the human condition and what it's like to be a human in certain parts of the world or from a certain culture or part of the world. And so I really felt like you were tuning into a humanity that we need more. A connection to humanity. So
Definitely.
what, because your songs kind of go there already. Like you feeling like you're going to be going there more?
Definitely. I mean, I think that the way that I like to use my art, for a personal way, it's for me to cope. Right? Like it's for me to get all the thoughts out of my head and my heart and my soul and my body out into the world. And then the hope is once I do that, other people will relate and not feel as alone. That's what music did for me, and that's what I want to provide for other people. And there's this, especially nowadays where, you know, everything is digital, like there's this longing for connection. And as I was saying earlier, like music is a great connector. And so through writing, through poetry, through lyricism, I feel like when I'm able to portray a feeling or an experience that I had and make it just general enough that other people can feel comforted by it, that means that I'm doing something right, you know. I'm a big believer in several things, in unity, recovery, and service, you know. I recover through writing these songs and being able to have these moments to go deep into myself and work through some of these beautiful experiences, the painful ones. Unity, I connect with others through song and through sharing music and through writing together and through just that common relation of this art form. And then service is I try to bring it out to others, you know. I try to teach people music. I try to show up to do things that I normally wouldn't do, like being on a podcast on a Monday night, you know. I try to come out and do these
Thank
things,
you.
and I feel like it's a well-rounded recipe for leading by example of how, because that's all we can do really, is like lead by example of and try to like model what we want to see in the world, you know.
Nice. And with that, we're going to get to hear. Actually, speaking of your new stuff, this has not been released. Actually, not been re has it been recorded yet? Not even.
Well, actually, Colin and I did a little recording, but we haven't released it yet, and hopefully we will this summer or later this year.
You'll let us know, I hope, but we'll get to hear it here first, unplugged, live, online, and it's called Give Me. Does this need an explanation?
I'll just say that it's a prayer that I wrote, and then we put music to it.
Well, okay. Well, here it is, first ever, live online. Here is Piper Hayes's new song, Give Me, on the
Thank you.
Life Changes Show.
Give me the words to say I give up. Give me the words to say I've had enough. Emptiness echoing in my head. I'd rather listen to you instead. I don't remember what I said, so give me the words. Give me new eyes to see I am blind. Give me new eyes to see all of mankind. They push all our differences into sight, but we're all the same now, ain't that right? No need to feud or to fight, so give me new eyes. Oh, give me new ears to hear, it's too loud. Give me new ears to hear all the little funny sounds. I'm tired of listening to the news. Where is the sunlight? There's too much blues. There's beauty to listen to, so give me new ears. Give me new ears. Give me the path to walk, I am lost. Give me the path to walk, whatever the cost. I'm tired of going around again, and the self will riot. When will this end? Oh, to begin again. So, give me the path. Give me the path. Give me the path. Ooh. Ooh. Give me the words to say. Give me new eyes to see. Give me the ears to hear, and give me the path to walk, I'm lost. Thank you guys so much.
Oh my goodness. Piper Hayes, PiperHayes. You can find her links at the Life Changes Show page, or you can find her Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, Piper Hayes. Give me more music.
Hey, hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have a grip of new music for you.
Oh my gosh, you're amazing. So her debut album was Vaga Blonde, and you can find that as well, where music is sold. So much good has been said about that, and so much good is being said about what you're creating right now. So very exciting, and I'm one of them. So very exciting, very excited for you. Piper, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Looking forward to hearing more from you and from your and of your music. So all the best to you. And thank you for sharing that prayer for us. Mm-hmm. We need more of that. You know, can I say, it reminds me of a time, and I don't even know if I was living in that time, but do you know what I'm saying, though? It reminds me, like, it feels like it's from a different time or a different place. Maybe it's a place where we're going.
I hope so. That'd be lovely.
Yes. Yes. And then I'll hear that song come on the radio and say, this is the time she was singing about. Piper Hayes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. And with a big thank you to Piper Hayes and another big thank you to our guest, Andrew Sendejo. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as life changes, like it surely did for us tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.